Let's head to Asia. Elizabeth Beattie is based in Tokyo and our correspondent. Hello, Elizabeth.
Hi, Catherine.
Catch us up, please, with events in Myanmar. 2 years on, I think, from that brutal military coup. Where are things at?
Well, sadly, 2 years on, there hasn't been a lot of change for residents on the ground. We're seeing the military still doesn't have complete control of all areas of Myanmar, and pro-democracy fighters have continued to battle now for hundreds of days, even though the military have tanks and warplanes and sophisticated weaponry, and rebels have really been pushed back into jungle areas. We're continuing to see them fight against the military continue to fight for democracy. The situation has become increasingly dire over those 2 years with food shortages and the economy kind of tanking, but it still remains in a state of chaos with the kind of tension between the military and the rebels on the ground.
This is a case where so much of the world's attention, of course, was shifted to a major war in Ukraine, Russia on Ukraine, and this is what diverted a lot of attention away from ongoing conflicts and ongoing situations elsewhere.
Exactly. So we're seeing now that the UN Special Rapporteur for Human Rights in Myanmar, Tom Andrews, he's really trying to gain more attention to the situation in Myanmar. It's also quite challenging because unlike the atrocities that we're seeing documented in Ukraine, Myanmar's military have really controlled the internet and imposed internet blackouts. So the footage that does emerge out of Myanmar, it's truly heart-wrenching, but there isn't the same volume of footage there. It's incredibly hard to kind of access the country and tell that story. But now we're seeing governments kind of using this two-year mark, and human rights groups in particular try to refocus the attention to the plight of people in Myanmar.
And what are people calling on those countries to do? You know, nearly 3,000 killed, 1.5 million displaced, 8 million children no longer in school, businesses operating there, as you say. Is there a call for sanctions, and are any being imposed?
Well, this week, Australia, the UK, the US and Canada announced more Myanmar sanctions. They have imposed some in the past. Australia's been criticised for being a bit slow. But these sanctions were specifically focused on stopping fuel supply to Myanmar, which the military uses to power warplanes, which it has used to indiscriminately bomb civilian areas. So that's the kind of been the focus of these sanctions. The US has also sanctioned leadership figures. But rights groups say more really needs to be done. You know, Myanmar is sometimes referred to as the forgotten war because, like you said before, that global attention has been shifted away. Now at the two-year mark, there is some pressure from rights groups and a little bit more awareness of the fact that, you know, this has been going on now for hundreds of days and people have been suffering that entire time.
And update us also, if you would, on Hong Kong. Again, over the last year or two, we have seen repression and so much change happening there and so many crackdowns, I guess, on protesters and those resisting some of what is happening. Have there been further developments just even in the first few weeks of this year?
Yeah, it's off to a legal or regulatory shift right at the start of the year, with the Hong Kong's government taking aim at CBD. So CBD comes from the cannabis plant, but unlike THC, it doesn't result in a high. It's often used to, as some people use it for, you know, stress or inflammation. It's kind of marketed as a health product. But Hong Kong's government has just imposed new drug laws, saying that anyone in possession or anyone who consumes CBD will be could face up to 7 years in prison, and anyone who imports or exports or manufactures the product could face life in prison, which is the same category they place for heroin and cocaine. So they're really kind of imposing those harsh fines on that product.
And what is the driver for the policy?
Well, It appears to be Hong Kong being brought into line with mainland China's drug policies. In 2022, mainland China banned CBD, and it we're kind of seeing all these different areas where Hong Kong is being brought into line with mainland China's laws, and this appears to be another area where that's the case.
What is happening in Singapore with an unusual lawsuit? In fact, two.
Oh, this is quite a bizarre story where a man in Singapore has mounted these legal challenges against a woman who essentially rejected him romantically. So this man, Mr. Kaushigan, is suing a woman, Nora Tan, for emotional trauma after finding out that she just viewed him as a friend. Right away, their relationship has been kind of off to a rocky start throughout the law case. Basically, he views her romantically and she views him as a friend, and he's used the law in a bid to kind of punish her for not reciprocating his feelings.
And based on what kind of legislation?
Well, he says it's emotional trauma. He's also said that she breached a contract because earlier in their relationship, she agreed that they agreed on some perimeters in their relationship, and then she sought to withdraw when she found him becoming too intense. And the court's already thrown out the first legal challenge. The next one is for later this month.
Interesting. Yes. Thank you very much, Elizabeth Beattie, who is a journalist based in Tokyo and our Asia correspondent today.